Okay, Google, call mom. Alexa, read me a story. Alexa, buy everything on Amazon.
Ship it to the White House.
Okay.
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 All right. Alrighty. Welcome to the rest of your life.
This is the first day of the rest of my life.
Welcome to the podcast for empathy and imagination, the only podcast where there are no audio difficulties whatsoever. Thank you, Final Corp. Thanks to our listeners. Thank you, Google. Thank you, Tim Berners-Lee, for inventing the internet. We are live.
We are live.
We have control.
We are live.
Okay, what do we got?
Welcome to the podcast for Empathy and Imagination. My name is Drew Clark. I'd like to acknowledge everyone today for coming to listen to the podcast. And if you're listening to this in the archives, we also live stream this every Saturday around this time, which is about 2 p.m. on Saturdays. A lot of technical fun challenges. We're figuring things out. It's pretty cool. This guy right there, that's Aubrey Cloutier.
Hi.
And this here's here is Drew Clark.
Hi.
So today's a special episode.
A lot of audio shenanigans.
Yeah,
going
holy
on.
Cow. We've been playing with the audio games a bunch. So what do we
what do we know? What do we don't know?
Let's check in with how it was setting up the audio. Aubrey, would you mind speaking to your camera
we
to tell us?
We need about 1,000 million cables. You know, it's a challenge because we're trying to get audio directly from the mixer into the phone, which is a challenge big time, because the little dongle that I bought to do that doesn't seem to work that great. So we hooked that up and we got like a millisecond, not even a millisecond, probably 1,000 millisecond delay. So which made it unusable. And so now we have headphones wrapped around the
That's what this is.
iPhone.
You see this little foam thing right here? That's a headphone on the switcher app.
So Drew's controlling the switcher app, which
today.
We use to switch between cameras. We got three cameras set up, and it's nice and hot here at Gradient Studios. And how about you? How are you doing? This is your birthday. Happy
today
birthday.
Today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Woo-hoo! Happy birthday. Thank you.
Buddy.
Thank you.
I'm feeling pretty happy.
You know, it is a happy birthday. I was born in about 6 a.m., April 29th, 1983.
Good
which
year.
Puts me in my mid-30s. I'm 34 today. It's exciting. We have a party
exciting.
Here at Gradient Studios later. But before that, we were going to be doing some live performance music recording, so stick around for the after show.
It's a good birthday.
It's a really good birthday.
Maybe we'll do some live streaming of the after show.
Oh, shit. We might do that tonight. Okay, cool.
That's becoming, well, it hasn't become anything yet, but it'd be a cool habit to get into.
It would
be. We did live stream the last
musical portion. Yeah, after show. Yeah.
The after show. The aftermath of the podcast.
So I'm doing well. I'm feeling like I'm taking action as far as you heard me as a friend Sean might say, to call the whambulance, because I've been talking about my financial situation
and
the struggles there. I feel like there isn't any actual meat or potatoes yet, but it sort of seems like there are a couple of options coming my way, and I'm feeling like, okay, well, maybe I can strategically survive based on new information. So that's feeling
the Hopsy thing?
Well, that and something called the Progress Foundation really needs crisis counselors that don't have degrees. And I could get into that.
Specifically that don't have degrees?
Yeah.
It's a weird
Because they don't want to pay that. They want to pay entry-level people and train them. But they're like the only place that does it. So they very much underpay.
Yeah, degrees don't mean anything anyway.
But I may have a connection to get into there and start some like emergency relief counseling with the actual homeless population.
So, huh, cool.
Yeah, so if I could do that and be very underpaid for a while, I could then get a job at a place doing that with the title counselor.
Mm-hmm.
I can use that word. So that sounds fun and interesting. Plus, I got like a backup job on the line if I have to like jump ship on either of the current things. Like, for example, if Hopsy can't find a way to use my skills, I've got to leave. I have to quit.
Hopsy?
Yeah. If they don't find a way to allow me to contribute and be, you know, paid commensurately as discussed on the previous episode, check out, I read the letter I sent them on that last episode.
You know, if they're just hot tubbing?
And then there's hot tubbing.
Yeah.
You know, and hot tubbing has some extra strains. It's strenuous.
Yeah.
It's definitely strenuous. So
yeah,
we're thinking long term. So yeah. I'm feeling okay. I'm excited about my birthday party. I'm excited about the podcast. Very happy to have the audience here. I appreciate you all and myself. And we got this nice little
happy to be
solution
here.
Opportunities. Oh.
Happy to be here.
Broadcasting error. Connection closed by the server. Oh, continue.
Huh.
You son of a...
Got a lot of issues over there.
Freaking A, man.
So, what is it? The network failed?
The network failed. You know, if I close this, we have to resync all the cameras.
Huh. Can you just record locally now?
That's what we're doing.
So, it's not streaming?
No, it's not streaming. We'll immediately upload this, at least as a warmer upper. Mm. The audience will have to wait an hour. You'll be okay, audience.
Damn it.
Yeah. So we're working on it, folks. Patreon.com/empathy and imagination.
Yeah, help us
out. Help us get the internet working, because really that's it. We need reliable internet. We got this 50-foot-long Ethernet hanging out of Windows, trying to patch together enough Wi-Fi just to put this little thing together.
Hmm.
So
your phone is disconnecting from the Wi-Fi.
That's correct.
It happened earlier too, didn't
it? That is what's happening. That is correct.
Weird. Okay. Well, on with the show. The show must go on.
The show is going on. You can't stop us. Show goes on.
Show goes on. So, you got a topic? You got something?
Yeah. I do have a topic. Birthday topic. Thinking about gifting, thinking about having and not having, thinking about stuff. And I wanted to bring up something and mention it and kind of have a topic maybe go off from there. And I'm curious about the richest people in America. When you talk about recent developments in our political scheme, there's a new tax plan coming out that is going to reduce corporate tax from 35% to 15%, which in its lumping of other things in this bill, it basically clearly is for the top 2/10 of the 1% of the richest people in America. And it's something like that group is going to receive about $53 billion from our, from the penny, from the pot, the kitty.
Hmm.
So, and that's every year. So this new tax plan is designed to, he calls it, he's priming the pump. He says he's going to prime the pump, which is backflow, bunch more money into the wealthiest, most powerful people on the planet. And then that's going to be a GDP increaser, is the thought, that they're going to go from 1.6% GDP to something more like 4%. Mm. Apparently, this is important. So, according to Forbes 400 in 2016, Larry Ellison's net worth is $49.3 billion publicly. That's an Oracle.
Oracle guy, yeah.
Yeah. So $50 billion is the publicly known money. Michael Bloomberg is net worth at $45 billion.
He's number two.
Yeah, Bloomberg LP. Charles Koch, David Koch. They're both at 42. Put that together, 84 is that their brother's total total net worth that we know about. Larry Page, $38.5 billion. Sergey Brin is $37.5 billion. Jim Walton of Walmart is $35.6 billion, and the family owns a lot more.
Yeah.
And the list goes on and on. I could go on and on. I'm not sure if that's the fun part. I think the fun part is maybe talking about
Is it wrong to be rich?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, that can be a question. Like, is it wrong to be rich? Or is there a wrongness that allows such a stratification as to that they can just use money to protect themselves from others joining them? Like, if we could join these people and live in a community with them. But the mountain is so tall, and they've got so many slides and chutes and ladders dropping their rungs on the way up. You know, you reach, and there's just 10 more taxes and fees. And and then you have the swamp being filled with the same people who dynamically created the subprime mortgage lending Goldman Sachs CEO coming into the White House. And it's like, well, it's pretty extreme. And you think about draining a swamp, that's not the direction I would think. I wouldn't think about putting billionaires into power as a swamp drain. That's kind of what I would think. Draining the swamp would be finding, like, come-uppers who are crazy talented. That would be my thought. People who are...
already
who are working, there? People who are soaring. People who are essentially working on becoming successful, and they have some successes, and they're working on things, they need opportunity, they're hungry, they're younger, essentially. That's why I picture draining the swamp. But apparently...
I mean, it's so... government is so vast. There's so many people. You gotta remember that it takes a certain type of person to go into government work.
Well...
and I think...
it might be changing.
That's a generalization. It might be changing. But, you know, just think about the DMV, right? That's, the whole government is like that. The whole government is just way too bloated with bureaucracy and red tape. There's just too much government, man.
It is pretty crazy.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, like deep state, there's like people that aren't elected that are running things for sure in terms of like FBI. You know, those people aren't elected.
Yeah.
FBI, CIA, it's just it's out of control. Too much government. But how do you dial back the government?
Well,
I don't know.
How do we dial back people, the top 0.2% owning as much wealth as the bottom 90%?
Yeah.
That's really the topic here. It's like,
so is that inherently bad?
It seems like it would be hard to paint a world where that wasn't bad. If I use my imagination, okay, what could be a world where 0.1% owns as much as the lower 90th percentile all combined? Where there's such a coalesced focus of power and influence. And I wonder... if there's a scenario where that could be good, I suppose it's possible, but I don't see any evidence for that being what's happening now.
So your opinion is that it's not good to have that disparity between rich and poor.
Well, that's not really my point. My point is there, what can we learn from it, and what does it say about the directions we're going? What does it say about what we're doing, what we spend our time doing? And all the hurdles we encounter, you know, like being sued, parking tickets, taxes, mortgage rate. Like there's just all the things that are like the hill. It's what makes the hill a hill. And then you have these essentially gods surviving out of the sphere of even like legal precedents. Like a lot of these people just pay giant fines when they break the law.
Right.
And then move on. That's it. And they're not that giant to them. It's just like a tax.
Well, what's the alternative? I mean, it's easy to complain about stuff, but what?
Right. We get to use our imagination for an alternative. But I guess I do think it would be really damn hard to draw or imagine a world or this kind of income disparity would be good, could be like really excellent. Like maybe there was like
it's
a superhero.
It's hard for you to imagine that.
It could be good. It's hard for me to imagine.
But like that maybe if there was that implies that it currently is bad. So
hard to see. Yeah, hard to see any good.
So what is bad about it?
I think
that they have immunity from the law and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they also pay a bunch of tax. I mean, they're paying millions in taxes. Isn't that a good thing?
They aren't really. They really don't pay any taxes.
Well, I mean, Trump paid from his tax return in 2000, whatever it was.
Right. But that was 35 million. If you look at all these people and all the big corporations like Walmart and stuff.
So you're saying that they're not paying taxes?
They essentially don't pay any tax.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, hey, we got to look it up.
I don't know if I believe that.
We got to look it up, right?
I mean, the other thing is like Walmart was once a small business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they came out of nowhere and they're suddenly rich. It might just be that they provide value to other people and that's why they got rich.
They provide value within this system. Within the system.
Well, yeah, of course.
But they're preying on things to make that happen in a way that is so extravagant that they've generated so much income. Like many people picket Walmart for work environment, lack of, you know, benefits, blah blah blah, low pay. And then you have like the essentially slave labor of people in other countries
if
developing
people didn't
the products,
want what Walmart has, then they wouldn't be successful.
I think it works the other way.
Because that's how capitalism works. You have to provide value. And once you provide value, then people want what you have. The only way to get customers is to have something that they want.
Well, how do you start a business without having value? Then in that scenario.
Well, you do, and then it doesn't go anywhere.
Well,
how do businesses fail? How do you start a business that doesn't?
You don't have any value besides your skills. You don't have like
capital.
So how do you start a business?
What do you mean?
Exactly. So my point is, unless you're already rich,
what do
you
mean?
Really
do you mean the mechanics of starting a business?
Well, having been
a business license.
Well, having been a person who's tried very hard to start a business, I can tell you that. You have to already have the money you want to get from the business to start the business.
Yeah. Oh, I agree that it's more difficult today than it was 50 years ago to start a small business.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm just saying people that are rich, you know, it's not like they're inherently bad people. Some, I'm sure, are. Some aren't. My point is just that if you provide value, that makes your business successful. So Walmart is successful because the market has spoken. The free market has spoken, and people want what Walmart offers.
I think desperate people
I'm not saying there's not problems there.
I think they've sort of made a bit of a market, though, because they control laws about how things are done now, and legislative, you know, they're doing, like, you know, lobbying to have certain taxing certain ways, don't have to have certain protection
lobbying
for certain
is bullshit.
People. So they're lobbying to have laws go in their favor.
Yeah.
And then
lobbying should be
underpay people.
See, we just need smaller government. That's the thing.
So you're against lobbying?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you want lower taxes, just have less government, right?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but it would be a factor. You wouldn't be paying for all these agencies that don't have no purpose and they're extraneous.
That's one thing, but I really think the people of super extreme wealth are the problem more than like Mexican immigrants, for example. Like,
so what is the solution for people? What would, if you were one of these people, would you be singing the same tune? People are outraged about the wealth disparity.
Yeah.
But if they were in the 1%, would they be so outraged about it? Would you be outraged that you have $50 billion?
I wouldn't be. I bet if we were switched, right, you and I had the podcast of extreme wealth and money stuff, then it would probably go, we're doing a great job and everything's fine. I don't know why some of these people are complaining, but most people like what's going on.
I mean, they're, from their side, they'd be saying, well, I've created thousands of jobs. I pay millions in taxes. That would be their.
But they don't really pay taxes, and the jobs they make, people don't normally like.
Let's not talk about taxes then, because we don't know the data on that.
Okay, so we need to confirm
but
taxes.
But the IRS is very good at getting their money, so. But they would say, yeah, you know, Walmart. He would say, well, I've created tens of thousands of jobs. I give people what they want for cheap. That's a positive.
Okay, so Walmart guy has given tens of thousands of jobs, getting stuff people for cheap. Is that right?
Yeah, well, that's probably what his argument
probably
would be.
Okay, that's a version. Thank you. Also, they took over many small mom and pop shops that supported economically locally things.
Right, right.
And exploited the lower prices long
that's
enough
shitty.
To murder that. That's how they did
I agree
did
that that's shitty.
So that's a bad thing.
That's a bad thing. I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm just saying.
Well, where's the good part, I guess?
Creating jobs and
but dude, the jobs
giving value.
Suck. I mean, if you're creating jobs that no one likes.
Well, people work there.
Because they have to.
So every person that works at Walmart hates their job.
I would say a vast majority.
See, again, we have no data on this.
Right. Siri.
I think most people are actually happy to have a job. That's my feeling.
Interesting.
No matter what the job is.
Oh, like it bring. Okay, I think I'm hearing you that say that like people.
If you want to not
good
be depressed,
about contributing.
If you want to not be depressed, have friends, have a job. Right. So,
would you say that working any job, anything happening, gives you some sense of completion, well-being, sort of?
Yeah.
So it meets a need to be contributing to your community.
I think so.
Yeah, the way people often contribute in their jobs is not how they would choose to. And I think that you're right that doing nothing is worse.
I think it's
and
worse
think I
for
agree.
Your for your
yeah.
mental health.
Yeah, and your community.
Yeah.
I think it's better to be doing something instead of nothing. So I think I'll give you that. Or for all, I'll devil's advocate myself and go, okay,
and
that's
I'm,
good.
I mean, the Google guys are on there, that list. So
I'm sure we could pull the
whole
list
providing,
up.
Yeah. Are they providing value? Are they inherently bad? Is
no, I think I specifically think things like Google are a mix enough of yin and yang that people, that's why it's more popular now.
Yeah. Like, and
good, information, bad, insular bubble.
And the beauty of Google is that they have no product. Right. If you just
well, they do now.
They do. The Alphabet is, you know, an umbrella company for millions of things. But if you think about Google at its core, it actually produces nothing. Right.
Just algorithms.
It's
free
just
tools.
It's just serving you up other people's content.
Well, like the Google.
And so that's kind of a beauty, a thing of beauty, in a way. In today's economy, you don't have to have a widget. You can just have a service. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Yeah, here, get that guy. Yeah, show him what do you got? Show him what you got there.
You can see that?
Keep going. There it is. We just caught up to you. Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you. You know, it's dependably good.
Yeah.
I said that before, too, so that's cool.
So we're not live streaming. We're just
recording.
Okay, good. Wow, we really need an audio engineer, audio video director, engineer. Help us out, people. Patreon.com, empathy and imagination. Okay. So.
Okay, have we beaten that topic up? Are we ready to move on? New topics?
I don't know. I mean, we can keep talking about that.
Okay, well, what? Okay.
Just, there is the, you know, we're in the Bay Area. We're in the nexus of liberalhood. And a lot of people think that way, think that the 1% is inherently bad. People that are rich are inherently shitty. And, you know, maybe that's true. I don't know. But I have to argue both sides, right? I have to argue at least against what you're saying.
Do you think there's... that's fine.
Not because
I know.
Think that's true, but it makes for a more interesting discussion.
You're like, good at it. Thank you.
The 80-20 rule, you've heard of that, right?
Yeah.
Pareto law.
Sure.
That obtains pretty much in every single thing ever. So in a free market capitalist society, I don't think you're going to get away from income inequality. There's always going to be the 20%.
But doesn't need to be thousands of times.
Always, There's always going to be 80-20 in everything, not just in economics. You see it, that rule crops up
a lot of places.
Everywhere.
I don't know about everywhere.
Well, a lot of places.
Okay.
For example, in YouTube, let's say, 20% of the creators have 80% of the subscribers.
Okay.
So anywhere there's like lots of people in a system, you'll get the 80-20. And I'm not sure that income inequality is necessarily bad, because the alternative of redistributing the wealth is, I think, morally worse, because then you're just stealing.
Like crazy socialism?
Yeah, because you're just stealing other people's money. You're playing Robin Hood. It's a disincentive.
OPM.
It's a disincentive for people to work.
If you had equal pay?
If there was like a redistribution of wealth, why would I want to work? I could just do nothing and get the same salary as everybody else.
I think that's like what a depressed person would choose to do. I think most people would go, okay, now that I have some freedom to be a human and survive, what now am I capable of?
But what is the incentive to start a business and make millions of dollars?
Human well-being, yourself and your communities, like thinking of ways to improve your life and the people.
But there's less of an incentive because you can't make millions of dollars because it'll just be
no, but you can improve the life of people and make more money than others.
Not if everyone's making the same.
Well, if there's zero difference and there's like a maximum income and it's also the universal income, right? Like if everyone literally made $35 an hour, at like doctors and plumbers like that would be
then you're in
weird.
A communist.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Communist socialist.
I'm not saying that that's what to do. What I am saying is that there's smaller parts of it to put together, like a universal basic income, for example, is one of the best ideas I think possible to do.
I think there should be no minimum wage and no.
See,
that.
I think you have a faith in the free market that it's good or it does good things. And
well, it's better than all the other markets we've tried.
It's not going. I mean, the thing is, how do you square that with these people who aren't on this level? They're on a different godlike level and they have absolute power and they control nearly everything.
I don't think they have absolute power.
It's pretty insane.
At the end of the day, they die like everyone else.
But their family, it's lineage, their houses, dude. These are the lords.
Yeah.
So their kingships.
So what's the alternative?
Well, a universal basic income would do a few things. I think it should be like on the bottom end of being able to survive. Well, let me say it.
Yeah, yeah.
So a universal basic income is something you could say you made like $1,400 a month or something like that. I'm just an arbitrary number.
Sure.
So you're talking like you could get in a room and have some food and a phone, you know, and there would still be cool jobs to do. I think if you could take care of people, because we definitely have the resources available to have a life where it's not abject poverty, where you can't, because people die because they can't afford their medicine.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, like, if we can give these people just, and me, myself, to everyone. And so the thing is, everyone knows, has to be everyone. Everyone knows that everyone's getting it. So I think the culture would naturally shift from, well, how lazy can I be, into what are you doing with it?
Okay. Well, if there was a universal income, wouldn't taxes go up? I mean, how are we paying for this universal income?
It's right here.
From the rich.
From GDP, from what we generate. If we're going to have a country, then let's treat the country as a country.
How? Where's this money going to come from? You're saying these rich people.
Some of it's going to come from rich people. Some of it's going to come from other things being deleted, like welfare.
But
like
don't you
deleting
think,
welfare.
Okay. But don't, I agree, we should delete welfare. But isn't it immoral to be taking money from people who have earned it?
Have earned. That's
what you're doing.
$50 billion. How does one person...
You start a small business selling stuff.
So
And it's called Sam's... and it's called Sam Walton's Corner Store. It becomes popular. You have more of them. Eventually, it becomes Walmart. That's how you make X billions of dollars.
Do you think that's still possible today? Could you do that today?
Yeah, I think it's still possible to get mega rich. Of course.
From nothing?
Yeah. How do you think
that's still possible?
Yes.
For how many people?
How do you think people get rich?
I think they're already rich. They're already connected
to
rich.
No, that's not true.
Okay, well, tell me more.
Because that's just, you can't say everyone who's rich was already rich. Sam Walton, perfect example. Wasn't born rich, born poor.
I think
there's plenty of rags to riches stories, especially in the internet age when you can just offer a service or an app and you get rich.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can definitely get rich. The guy from Shark Tank, what's his name? I forget his name. Robert something. Mega rich. Almost all those guys on Shark Tank.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a reality show. It's very entertaining.
Okay.
People make money and make lots of money usually by working hard. Sometimes they are born rich, but sometimes they're not. And the idea of taking money from someone who's rich just because they're rich and giving it to someone else is theft.
Well, how do we deal with the theft going from the poor to the rich?
How is that happening?
Every day, in all the ways that we're taxed and spent and fees.
So taxes go to the government. They don't go to rich people.
Well, think about who runs the government.
Okay.
If you're buying laws...
I just don't buy the theft from poor to rich.
Yeah, dude. That's the thing that's the hugest crime is that...
But give me an example. You can't just say that it's going on.
The example is interest. That's my example. Interest in a bank. If you are a poor person, you go to the bank and maybe they'll charge you money to borrow money. If you're rich and you go to the bank, they give you money to have money.
Well, the only reason you can take a loan out is because of rich people.
No, the Federal Reserve is why you can take a loan out.
Right, and that's a private company. That has nothing to do with the government.
Right.
Federal Reserve is about as federal as Federal Express, which is to say not at all.
Correct. I'm aware of that.
It's a private entity. Rich people, it's how we... That's why we have loans, credit cards.
So you're losing me there. So are you saying that it's good that people own the Federal Reserve as a private company?
No.
Do you think that's good?
I think the Federal Reserve should be abolished.
Okay.
I think welfare should be abolished. And government should be much smaller. That's what I think.
But
I think the free market, there's going to be the 80-20 rule no matter what in a free market. You're not going to get rid of income inequality ever if you have a free market. And I think it's wrong to take people's money. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, how would you feel personally?
The thing that I feel is true is really the theft from the poor people to the rich people. One of the ways that happens is interest, the direction the money goes with interest. So that exists as a system. That's one of the ways it's theft. And then you think of the other ways, all the fees for when your bank account's low. But people owning banks. Some of the richest people in the world owning banks. They charge fees to the poorest of people. And then that goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So that is the systematic theft from the poor to the rich. So if all those, think of all the fees and taxes, just all
really,
of that stuff.
It's not really theft because you're not taking any, not taking.
You're totally taking.
You're not
bank
taking
fees.
Something that they already have. You're saying because, first of all, you don't have to have a bank that charges you fees or interest. You can find banks that don't do that. Second of all, if you're taking out a loan, the interest is an incentive to pay the loan back. And basically, if you get a loan, that's money that's given to you. That's not theft. That's something that's given to you. And the interest is the fee for having free money given to you.
I think my point is that rich people charge you to use their money and that they get more money than you do.
Well, yeah. If you don't have any money and they give you a bunch of money, they should have some, there should be an incentive for you to pay that money back. And
I could understand an incentive to be actionable with it.
You know, someone like Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, right? Super rich people often create these philanthropic organizations that do good in the world.
So how do we get back to...
And so the universal income is a disincentive for to work hard. Now, I agree it should be easier to start a business, for sure. But with universal income, again, you're not encouraged to create something that other people want.
I think now, that's something you just have learned. I don't think that's really
capitalism.
A thing. I think it's like a thing you're repeating. To say that you don't get motivated to do that, I don't know what gives you or what makes you think you have the authority that you know for sure. Or that what gives me the authority that I know for sure.
Well, it's just my opinion.
Right. So I'm arguing that I might not know, you might not know, and I'm estimating. I posit that we don't know what people would do with universal basic income. To say for sure it would be disincentive, I think, cuts it short.
Yeah, I mean, nothing is for sure. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
You could easily see someone who is getting $1,400 a month for doing nothing. You could see them... just doing nothing and not having an incentive to, oh shit, I can't pay my rent. I got to find a job. I got to find a way to do something to make money. You don't have that. My opinion is that you don't have that if you have a universal income. If you're getting $1,400 a month, don't you think? I mean, I think, yeah, there'll be people who will still want to work, but the argument that there isn't a disincentive, it just isn't convincing to me. To me, it's a disincentive to produce. Because capitalism is essentially, it's almost like forced altruism. You gotta, in order to make money, you gotta do something that other people want. You have to produce something of value to others in order to make money.
Or you have to produce.
And that's like pretty good. Weaponry. Seems to work pretty well. Sure. Plenty of shitty things that you can produce. But, again, what's the alternative? Socialism?
No. I mean, obviously, the communism? Alternative is a resource-based economy.
Right. So, again, capitalism isn't perfect, plenty of problems, but it's the best thing we have now.
Okay. Let's round it up
for
with.
Sure.
Let me round it up with like a bring it at home thing, if
yeah,
we could.
Yeah.
So, Aubrey, if you were given $1,400, say it was going to start in July, you personally, a pilot project, were going to receive $1,400 a month. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Give yourself some imagination.
What would I do?
What would you personally do?
Well, if I were to.
Imagination.
Let's use our imagination. So, I like how it cuts off abruptly. You know, like now, you know, probably in my 20s, I'd just fuck around with that money.
Well, like what? In your 20s, you'd like just drink it or something?
Yeah, just squander it
yeah.
on shit. But now I'd probably live lean and save it. And use it to fund some kind of business project. Or like use it as seed money for some kind of project.
So you'd like keep working?
Probably keep working or like, yeah, probably start a business.
You'd basically use it to rent a space and get equipment and do
yeah.
the thing.
Yeah.
I think that's
$1,400
awesome.
A month, I would cover like living expenses.
Yeah.
So you could pretty much have time to do what you wanted to.
Yeah. How cool does that sound?
I mean, it does sound cool. It would be interesting to find out if it actually worked.
Patreon.com/empathy and imagination
Right? There you go. Bringing it home. Okay. Cool. Good topic.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks for, I want to like touch your skin and go like, thanks for going there with me.
Controversial topic.
Yeah. I like to get when Aubrey and I get the slight disagreements on. It's fun.
Yeah.
So,
no, I think we disagree. I think we disagree on a lot of stuff actually.
But that's cool stuff to disagree on.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
Who wants, you know, I mean, to live in a world where no one disagrees with you is like being
boring.
It's like walking around in a desert.
So that camera's frozen completely.
That's why we have free speech. Is it?
Would you just for fun go over there and see, push a button? We're just going to do a quick tech check here, folks. Yeah, see, we're trying to do that one. See, this guy's good. We got to get this guy in the mix, but it's hard to do because, you see... Just, you know, give it a reek, smack it in. We can reload it. Let's see, it's still frozen with my hand up like that. Use as a camera. Live. We in the zone? Auto zone. Auto zone. Inputs. Whoa, what is going to see? It's still frozen. Yeah, well, this was kind of weird. Feast your eyes on that. Cool. Cool. Working it out. Happy birthday. So. Is it, you know, one day listeners here starting their own podcast, they might not have to go through this. If you aren't using hundreds of wires, something's wrong.
Yeah. Minimum 100 wires.
She's just frozen, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool.
It's weird because this did work at one point.
Yeah.
Last two episodes. I mean, Switcher was minty fresh.
Yeah.
And that was on the shitty Wi-Fi. Shittier Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I wonder what's up with that thing. Jeez. Well, probably can't re-add them once it's going or something. That makes
probably.
Sense. Yeah. Okay.
Did you try re-adding it or is it?
I didn't try. You start. You talk.
So, yeah, good topic.
Keep going.
And what do we got now? A word from our, probably a word from our sponsor. Okay,
cool. Hey, Mom, what's for dinner?
Well, I was thinking of making some gelled meat casserole.
But we had that for breakfast.
Well, how about a nice big stack of salt pancakes with melted gummy bear sauce?
But we had that for lunch today at school.
Okay. Honey, how about a couple of bowls of mayonnaise ice cream?
Cool. All right. Yippee. Can I have the poison ivy flavored ice cream?
You sure can.
And dirt fudge.
Yep.
Oh, Mom, food's the best.
Final Corp. It'll be fine.
Final Corp, 50 flavors of mayonnaise, 50 years of experience. Final Corp, it'll be fine. Thanks, Final Corp, for supporting us and for sending us free mayonnaise packets.
I especially like the extra large mobile mayonnaise packets.
Yes, hot, piping hot mayonnaise delivered fresh. Straight to your door.
What's cool is they're investigating actually a drone delivery mayonnaise service so that you could be able to have your mayonnaise delivered to you literally anywhere just with your smartphone and GPS.
Nice.
It's help called them, Mayonnaise Everywhere.
Help them slide mayonnaise onto food. Final Corp. It'll be fine.
It'll be Final Corp. And we're back.
All right.
Ow!
All right. Let's talk about space colonization.
Okay. Ooh.
Huh?
All right. I like this topic.
See, one of the problems with our culture is that we don't have a definite vision for the future.
Agreed.
Think about the 60s and stuff, you know? 50s, 60s. It was, everything was like the year 2000. Holy shit, flying cars. It's going to be great. There was like a vision of, yeah, we're going to go to space. And then it seems like we went to space and we're like, huh, man, it's lonely out here. It's nothing, sucks to, out nothing there. To do. We beat the Russians and we beat them to the moon. So we're done. Okay. Bye. And haven't gone back. So, you know, there are a few pioneers. Elon Musk is kind of a techno priest.
Yeah, I guess he is sort of like one of the new lords of power, and yeah. he's got his own religion going, and it's pretty cool.
For sure.
I like his religion.
So we need to get back to that vision of like... Of a definite future that we can all work
like
towards.
Like something we can like point towards.
Yeah, because now, what are we working towards now? There's like no definitive vision of the future. It's just apps.
Yeah, oh, fuck, it is just
new
apps.
We're going to have a new internet startup, man. It's going to be awesome.
And we're guilty of
that's
wanting
it.
That too.
Sure, sure. But it's like, that's just, I mean, that's a boring future.
Yeah, we apps. Need a story.
You know, and it's like, it seems like so many things have stagnated in culture. Maybe it's because we don't have a definite vision for the future. So maybe it's time, guys, to get back into, and girls, and everyone on the spectrum, and the gradient, rainbow.
Yes, everyone's welcome.
Let's get into space colonization, you know? Seems like a cool thing.
I'm ready for it. I mean, like, so space colonization... is important. I feel like we want to be a multi-planet species. I feel like that's a cool way to orient a story too. Thinking about orienting like, yeah, multi-planet species. I like that.
Yeah. Interplanetary. Yeah. So why go to space? Well, why build space settlements? Well, why not, right? One thing is that if you wanted to try out, there are many reasons to go. Let's say you wanted to get away from the workaday world. Let's say you wanted to try out a resource-based economy. Hmm. Space is the way to do it, right? Just have some orbital settlement. Try out your ideas. So real estate's a huge thing, right? You could build new land in orbit. And orbit is really where to do it. Because, you know... You could do it
constant
on the moon.
Solar power.
Yeah, and you're close to Earth, so you can get shipments. I mean, it would take weeks, if not months, to get shipments to Mars or the moon. And although the moon has a lot of elements that we need, it doesn't have things like nitrogen.
Hmm.
So in orbit seems like the best place to do it. Now, you could have as much space as you wanted.
Can we have like a space station in orbit?
Yeah, we do already.
I know, but one like you can stand up in and maybe has some artificial grav, you know?
Yes, there are many, many things you could do. You could have like a cylinder and you live on the inside of the cylinder
and it rotates.
It's rotating. And I think it's, if you had it like, if the radius was 2 kilometers and you could easily generate 1G at the edges by having it rotate. And you live on the inside of the cylinder. And see, the main hazard is cosmic rays, solar radiation. So if you have a cylinder, and let's say the whole thing is covered in, there's like, let's say 100 yards of soil all around the inside, and then you live on the inside. So the soil insulates you from all the radiation.
And you walk on it.
And you walk on it.
What keeps... Okay, I'm keep going.
And so anyway, you could try out resource-based economy in space.
Ooh, I like it.
That's a good thing. You could help save Earth's environment by moving to space.
Huh. But like doing tests and
less,
stuff?
Well, there'd be less. If people moved to space, there'd be less stress on Earth's environment.
We'd be taking stuff from Earth up there, though.
Sure, sure. But you could imagine a distant future where humans are largely in space, and Earth is just like this paradise garden.
That we like visit or something? Yeah. You get like visit permits from like the 1984 Verlord or something?
It seems like a natural progression to go to space.
Yeah.
Now it's a supremely hostile environment. But, you know, imagine looking up at the night sky and seeing every star is like has a sort of faint green glow to it because humans are there and life is flourishing. That would be pretty cool.
So I think in a world and see many inhabited planets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool
feeling. Yeah. Exoplanets. There's some crazy number of exoplanets that have been discovered.
When you tell me more about exoplanet.
You know, the more that humans spread out, the more likely they are to survive in the long term. Right? Imagine if every human was just on some island on Earth. Let's say the population of Earth was in one spot. There's a greater chance that they'll go extinct.
Oh, because it's just you're all in one
spot. So we got to spread out. It's going to help us survive into the distant future.
Yeah, we got to spread out and we got to stop using nuclear weapons on each other and maybe use that energy to go to space instead or something.
Hell yeah. You know? And, you know, our sun's going to blow up. It's going to be a while, though. But that's sort of a ticking time bomb. Let's say there's a meteor impact on Earth, wipes out all life. It's happened before. Probably 100% chance it'll happen again.
Pretty high likelihood.
So again, spread out, minimize our chances of going extinct. I think human beings are a net positive in the universe. I think human well-being is something worth fighting for.
Yeah, definitely.
So we could have environmental independence in space. You could have custom living. You can live however you wanted to. You'd be outside of national, international borders, governments. You could start your own government, cult, group, whatever.
Federation
of planets.
Federation also, of humans.
You have great views.
Oh, dude.
Very scenic.
And you'd have a lot of solar potential. I mean, big time.
Big time. Because you'd be, if you...
You could be synchronous.
Yeah, you could be geosynchronous, or you could be always in the sun.
Solo synchronous.
You could always be in the sun. Now, the thing about colonizing the moon or Mars, you're in darkness half the time.
Yeah.
Moon, more so, because it's in one side always faces the Earth.
Mars does that, too?
Well, Mars doesn't do that.
Mars spins on an axis.
So it's its own planet, yeah. Mars has two moons, though.
Yeah.
They're too small.
They're too small to go to?
Well, I guess you could build a colony on anything. Europa, the moon of Jupiter. Jupiter has, I think, 19 moons. Europa is the most promising because there's speculation that it might have a subsurface ocean. And if it does have a subsurface ocean, somewhere, so the core of a planet's hot, right? So Europa's core is hot and its surface is freezing cold. So that means there's a gradient of temperature there. That means that somewhere heat meets water if there is indeed subsurface ocean. And as we all know,
underground in the water.
As we all know, you don't need light for life. You just need water and heat.
Some kind of energy.
And not
thermal vent or something.
There's like bacteria that live miles underground.
Tardigrades.
With no light.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. And I think NASA is going to send a probe to Europa to check it out. To check out whether it has a subsurface ocean.
How do we work on that team?
And I think how they discovered that was the crust of Europa seems to spin at a different rate than the core. So there's some kind of liquid in between. That's
the
speculation.
That's pretty brutal.
Now, Europa's a fuckload of a distance away. That's a problem. So in terms of getting to space and establishing colonies in space, the most viable option would be in orbit.
And sounds good.
And stepping stone to that would be seasteading, living on the ocean.
Oh, fucking so, A. I like where that. You're going with this.
Talked about that on another episode. And also, you can simulate... I think you can simulate the conditions of weightlessness underwater at a certain point. Like if you had a bubble far enough under the water, there's some... I forget what it is, but there's a way to sort of simulate what it would be like to live in space underwater.
You'd get pretty close if you had a suit on, like a wetsuit with a certain amount of weights.
Yeah.
So you were like neutrally buoyant. That'd be kind of close.
Yeah.
That's a way I can think of.
And also, you just need practice in closed living environments, which you could do underwater.
I have experience with this, and yeah. I would love to participate in such a project.
So it needs to be some kind of underwater colony first. Because we gotta perfect living in isolation. And then we can go to space, start the Federation of Planets, and I'll be Picard, since I have the hairline for it.
And the love of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Who do I get to be?
Riker.
Riker? Okay, cool.
Yeah, you got a beard. Cool. You're taller than me.
Broad shoulders. I lean funnily when I walk.
I stand at a towering 5'7". So,
Of course, also, knows you weigh 70 pounds.
Right. Think about tourism, space tourism. Be a way to fund some serious projects.
So we'd now have the sweetest Airbnb in space.
And some people say, oh, we got to fix all the problems down here on Earth before we go to space. I don't know. There's always going to be problems. So I advocate going to space as soon as possible. What do you think?
I'm on board. I think if we can get to space in our lifetimes and or have a space colony that it wasn't too hard to get to, that's so exciting. You go like, well, what are the dots? How do we get there? And I really think your seasteading comment has some weight on the topic. And I almost wonder if that's happening in a company or, I wonder if there's a team thinking that longevity.
There's the Seasteading Institute. I'm not sure how much progress they've made, but, you know, a lot of these places, you're like, oh, wow, nice, Seasteading Institute or Space Colonization Institute or whatever, and you go to the website, and it's, like, way outdated and looks like
just old
a website
crap.
From a tripod-hosted site from 1997. GeoCities.
Excuse me.
So... And, you know, we got to drum up some enthusiasm for this project. Apps and startups, let's make some startups about going to space.
What if we made like an excitement campaign, audio, video?
Excitement campaign.
What if we developed video, audio, text that was designed to be excitement about people building companies that are startups about going to fucking space?
Yeah, what if there was some kind of like tax break? Or incentive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. Like the church. Like say like church rights. Like if you're going to go to space, you get the same taxes as church. Huh?
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Huh?
Treat it like we could start a religion, call it a religion, then they'd have to give it to us.
Right. That's
we can say it's a religion of space, and then we got to go.
If you wanted to experiment with new social, cultural, political constructs, you could do that in space. So... Yeah, that's my topic, space colonization. I think it's a good idea.
Wow.
Seems like a necessary idea for the survival of the human species. I think it'd also be a lot of fun, be very dangerous, but it'd also be a lot of fun.
Maybe it's time to get a boat.
And I think the first step is seasteading, living in isolated communities that don't have direct tethers to land. You got to be self-sufficient. So, Elon Musk, you want to get on that for
okay,
us?
Okay, cool.
Thanks. Cool.
Cool.
Because, you know, think about it. We got International Space Station. It's been up there for years and years. And it's like we're already living in space. All right. Do you have a sounds good?
Well, I have a few things, actually. One of them requires your participation. I don't know if we can make this so you can... Yeah, I think you may need to come over here.
Okay.
I think if we disrupt this, it's... maybe not. Maybe it can... Well, you can just sort of get it. Maybe you can just stay there. Try and get it like that. So you got to look at this to see. I have a little, a couple little videos.
What am I doing?
Nothing. Can you see the screen?
Yeah.
So there's like this private "Don't go here, birds" hill, and there's this guy up on the hill,
mm-hmm.
and he's like going crazy. He was like kicking the sand crazily right before this, and you can see it's sort of like calming down from this like crazy kicking
Where
dance
this?
Hill. Right behind the sign where it says "Don't go mess around with the birds."
Oh,
yeah, right there, that sign.
But I mean, where?
This is Santa Cruz Beach.
Oh, the sign "Don't mess around with the birds."
And he's like dancing all crazily, right, doing that. So that was that. And then I got one more. It's a little gruesome. I call it "Two Birds, One Snake."
Okay.
So there's a little scene here. Trigger warning. If you're frightened by nature, be afraid. Be very afraid. Okay.
Nature is murder.
So my snake, Leviathan, got two chickens in her clasp at once and then swallowed them.
Nice.
She struck one and was holding it and then struck the other one. She like slowly came up and like bit it and then curled it in, and it was like meow. She was strangling two at once and then ate them. I was like, what the fuck?
Nice.
So that's what's going on here.
Yeah, as I said before, nature is just unbridled murder.
Yeah.
Raw life and raw murder.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah. Do you still go to the East Bay Vivarium?
Yeah, I still get chickens there.
Cool. Nothing around here.
Nothing.
Have you thought of like setting traps?
Oh, like just getting stuff locally?
I don't know. Mice. I mean,
no, that's actually an interesting thought because there's like stuff all over. This is like the wilderness.
Mice and rats.
There's
around.
Rabbits and like all
rabbits,
kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
there's possum. There's all. This is
you
wilderness.
You think Leviathan would eat something like that?
She could eat like a medium-sized chicken-sized thing. Interesting.
Mice.
Interesting.
Mice are like hors d'oeuvres for Leviathan, right?
Yeah, but she could eat like 10.
Yeah. As long as it's a living creature. The cuter, the better.
Seriously.
Cats.
The cuter, the better. Okay,
you
so...
You think you would eat a cat?
She could eat a cat.
Kitten?
Absolutely.
Nice, cute kitten.
She could totally eat a nice, cute kitten.
Yeah. Damn.
So nature's brutal, and people are funny with their kick dancing and the don't and like the bird zone. That was funny.
That's cool. So those videos are going to be on the quote-unquote stream.
Correct.
Nice.
So we also have, and since we're in the media portion here, I think we'll just go ahead with this sounds good. And it's, I guess we'll play it, and then we'll talk about it.
Sounds good.
Oh,
Pretty cool.
What was that, you ask?
What was that, I'm asking?
That was.
Do we have a name?
That was Tad.
Tad, right.
So, that's Tad.
Tad. And, Tim Aubrey Drew.
Yeah. And that was the Sunshine of Your Love. Mm-hmm. And that was us three-piece performing that with Tim on the vox, you on the bass, and me on the drizums.
Yeah,
and I'm curious to hear, you know, feedback. What do people think of that version of that song with the you know, drums and the vocals and the bass and guitar? What is that, you know, how's that land?
Now, was that did you dial in a 60s set for that, or was that like the default set?
I actually did
the one you normally use.
I did a different one. I did like a big. It's basically like a big drum kit set. Everything's big, so it's a little looser,
Bonham kind of style.
Is it yeah, probably more Bonham-y.
John Bonham.
That's like the big bass, you know, big bass drum and stuff. So it's a little more thuddy and loose.
John Gongham. That was a gradient update. Remember those days?
Gradient update.
So that's cool. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, cool. Cool, cool.
Maybe we should go to the phones?
Yeah, let's go to the phones.
See what we got.
What do we got? Warm in here. Who's this? It's a surprise.
Ghostbusters. Well, so much for that.
Ghostbusters?
I'm gonna call my guitarist, but he's not answering. You have any suggestions?
Sian. Sian would probably answer. Ugh.
We'd call your brother.
Oh.
Kim Thornburg.
Oh, we could call my brother.
Huh. Maybe not.
You know, he would probably. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll try next time with that one.
Cool. But, you know. I like that you're swinging. I like the swing.
Trying.
Thanks for swinging. Oh, man.
So I guess that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Our topics were, I guess, the richest men in the world / income inequality.
Mm-hmm.
And space colonization. That's it. You got anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All
right. Happy birthday to me. Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you so much for participating, and thank you for enjoying our technical solution opportunities.
Yeah, you can check us out on iTunes, Empathy and Imagination. We're on YouTube, and we are on Patreon as well. So check us out. Thanks for listening.
Have a good day.
Have a good one.
Have a good one, or two, if you do.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate you guys doing the show, and I just really like the content. And listening to you guys, I just kind of feel like part of the solutions are already in place, and we're just on a good path. So I just appreciate it. What were you gonna say?
Sweaty headphones.
Got the sweaty headphones.
Brought to you by Final Corp. Permanently sweaty. permanently wet
headphones. Final Corp brings you permanently wet hat and permanently wet headphones. Keep your head permanently wet.
Keep your head permanently wet with the sweat of someone else. Someone else's sweat. Headphones from Final Corp. It'll be fine. Bye.
Two of the cameras are frozen now.
Damn it.
Yeah, the wide shot and the one of you. As you can see this, I mean, you might want to look at this. It's sort of funny.
Oh, I can see it. Yeah, it's funny. Shit, man. It sucks.
All right, we're stopping. That's it. Okay.